message for this morning session. I am thrilled to hear Brother Tom Gillum this morning. I don't know what he's going to preach on or a series, but I've just looked forward to it. And I want the Lord to speak to my heart in this service. I appreciate his good presence this morning. Brother Tom, you come on around and preach to us what's on your heart. I love you. It's a blessing to have you. Amen.
If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the Psalms this morning. In the Psalms, we thank the Lord for the privilege to be back at Taylorsville. First time I ever come to Taylorsville and preached in the morning. Taylorsville was only 31 years old. And I was only 45. That's a long time ago. He would have not said that morning, go over here to the dining hall and we'll feed you lunch, because it wasn't there. Take a handful of us preachers down to the burger basket. That's where they fed the preachers. And the rest of you had to get your own lunch. But now, God has richly blessed, so grace this place. I don't know why anybody would ever want to cuss it.
Tell it.
It's been such an oasis and such a blessing. We look forward to it every year. I have been, I don't know, 6 or 7 months now, hanging out in the Psalms. One of the old writers called it God's hymn book. God's hymn book. And the Psalms are divided into 5 books. And these morning services, I am interested in the last 5 hymns of Book 1. Book 1 includes Hymn 1 through 41. They're all committed to David. He wrote these. I was drawn to the last 5, Hymn 37 through 41. You said, how come you were drawn to them? He says in Hymn number 37, and verse 25, he says, I have been young and now I am old. John Phillips says he wrote all 5 of these hymns when he was an old man. He had more days behind him than he had in front of him. I notice there's a lot of you like that. Got more days behind you. You've done lived most of your life. And so I was interested in what David would have to say in his old age. We begin this morning in hymn number 37. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that one of the most perplexing riddles ever given to mankind, David deals with in this hymn 37. It is, why do the wicked prosper while the righteous suffer loss? His own son said in Proverbs, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked, where we're at today, when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And it seems like in this hymn 37, David gathers the family around in his old age. And he shares 8 little phrases of what we are to do when the wicked are prospering, we're being pressed down. You might try some of these out the next time you go to the gas pump. Might try these out the next time you've got more month than you got money. Being pressed down. The first one, and I would put them in pairs this morning, fret not, trust in. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible, because out of these eight phrases, only one of them is repeated. And it is repeated three times. Verse 1, fret not. Again in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not. Again, he mentions it in verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not. Three times the number of the triune Godhead. It's almost like God the Father says, stop it. God the Son, stop it. God the Holy Ghost, stop it. The little word fret here. Don't get heated up. Don't get lathered all up while you're watching Fox News. Pride Month. Don't sweat it. Terms of anxiety that lead to anger and depression. How come I should not fret it? He says in verse number 7, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says, don't fret about him. He says in verse 8, he says, don't get angry. He says, don't get all lathered up. Matter of fact, he says over in verse 12 and 13, he says, the wicked plotteth against the just. They're plotting against us this morning. They're trying to get all your gas. They're trying to fix it up where you won't ever come over here anymore unless you're walking. They gnash upon him with his teeth. I love what he says in verse 13. He says, I think I'll laugh. He says, the Lord laugheth at them. He says in verse number 9, he says, for the evildoer shall be cut off. He says, I'm going to mow them down. He says, I'm going to turn them to nothingness. Well, what in the world am I going to get out of this if I don't fret? He said, I'm going to let you inherit the earth. He says, first of all, he says, I'm going to give you everything they've got. I'm going to get everything they have plotted to get. But oh, it's much bigger than that. Paul tells us in Romans that we're joint heirs of his. To be an heir this morning means if you're not an only child this morning, you've got to split everything with your brothers and sisters. It won't be too thrilling that you come from a big family then. But I am a joint heir. He has always treated me as his only child. And so I ain't splitting with none of you. I'm getting it all. I'm getting all the wicked has, and I'm getting all that he has. Don't fret what they're doing. Tell them to enjoy what they got. Matter of fact, tell them to get some more gain. That just means more we're going to get when it's over with. Fret not. Verse number 3, trust in the Lord. It has the idea to hide in him for refuge, to feel safe and secure in him. The key to it is in Psalms 91, where David says to dwell with the Almighty in the secret place. Find a home in Him. Rest in Him. Find your dwelling place in Him. Find your confidence in Him this morning. It's not in the economy. Oh, no. It is to dwell in Him. He says also in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do the best you can. He doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. Do good. I ain't got nothing to do good with. Do good anyhow. Old Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that joy and holy activity doeth good like a medicine, causes us to flow into the river of milk and honey of resting in God. Very much of our outward depends upon our inward. Where there is heaven in the heart, there will be heaven in the house. Amen. But oh, look at the latter part of verse 3. And verily, this is about the righteous now. Thou shalt be what? To totally maintain every need that you'll ever have is the word fed. Oh, wow. What a God we have this morning. He says there in verse number 25, he says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. You'll never see anybody righteous standing on the corner with a cutout piece of a box. I will work for food. I'm homeless. Can you help me? Righteous people don't do that. Hello? I tell you, let them raise the gas prices some more. Let them clean the shelves off some more. That means it's just more we gonna get when it's over with. You say you're crazy. Don't pinch me and wake me up. Fret not. Trust in. Another couplet in this hymn of David's delight. Hymn 37. He says, delight in and commit to. Look, if you would, at verse number 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I love that little word, delight. The wicked delights in all of its pleasures. The wicked delight in all of its positions and all of its possessions and all that it is doing. The righteous are commanded to delight in Him. He is our highest joy. He is our highest pleasure. Old Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, when the wicked are prospering, he says, think upon every name given to Him, every attribute claimed by Him, every word spoken by Him, every deed ever performed by Him. Delight in Him. Several months ago, when that hurricane went through, cut a 200-mile fall through the United States, destroyed so much. I saw an old video online. This old boy's whole house was gone, except for one wall was left. And the only furniture left in the house was a chair and his baby grand piano. And he was there sitting at the baby grand piano in the video. And he was playing on the piano, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I told Beth, I said, you know what he's doing? He's delighting in the Lord. Go to the gas pump, and every time you see it's gone up a little bit, just get happy. They get more than I'm going to get when it's over with. Are you listening to me this morning? Delight in Him. You say, what
what's that delight and stuff going to do for me?
Look at the latter part of verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall do what? He says, I'm going to give you a carte blanche credit card. And he says, I'm going to give you whatever you want. But you got to delight in me. You've got to especially delight in me when all around your soul is giving way as the wicked are pressing you down. He said, go to delighting in me. And he said, the credit card is on the way. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Some of you ought to say amen. You ain't never done nothing at camp meeting. Sit down on your hands. They ain't going to video you. Man acting like Stone Indian at Taylorsville. No, that won't sell. Not only does he say to delight, but he says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. I was interested in this little phrase. It has the idea of rolling it upon the Lord, rolling it upon the Lord. And we think he's talking about our burdens. I hate to upset your apple cart, but he ain't. I know you've tried that before. How's that working out for you? Rolling your burdens on the Lord. The text here says, I want you to roll worrying itself upon the Lord. Quit it. Stop it. Roll worrying itself, anxiety, fretting, getting all lathered up. Roll it upon him. Commit thy way. What in the world would I want to do that for? He says in verse number 5, and he, not you, he shall bring it to pass. He's not going to do anything for you until he senses that you have rolled anxiety itself upon him. I'm fearful that most of us, I know I am, and I know you've heard this illustration, but I thought I'd tell it again. I wanted to hear it. Young boy digging taters about a mile from his house, and it didn't have no transportation, had to carry the taters home in a sack. Had a big old tater sack on his shoulders. He was walking towards home. Old man come by in a buggy. He said, Sonny, where are you going? He told him the house he was going to. He says, the door of the wagon's back there. He says, sit down. I'll stop at your house. Old boy sat down, kept taters on his shoulder. Old man took off. He noticed out of the corner of his eye that the taters was on the boy's shoulder. He stopped the wagon. He said, Sonny, he said, why don't you set your sack of taters down? He said, oh, kind sir. He said, I've done imposed upon you to carry me. I certainly couldn't impose upon you to carry my taters, too. I've got good news for you. He's carrying you and your taters, too. Roll worrying off on him. And he, not you, he shall bring it to pass. Another couplet that he has in this hymn 37, the hymn of David's delight. This is what David talking about, what old people ought to do. You know, I've met a lot of old people. They weren't really delightful. You listening to me? People that got this color hair, they ain't always delightful. I want to be one of them delightful people. Rest in and know of. He says in verse number 7, rest in the Lord. Be still before the Lord. Time spent alone with the Lord is never wasted time.
Be still and know that I am God. The little word rest means to lean all of the weight upon another. In these times of oppression, when the wicked are pressing us down and it seems like they're taking everything we've got, rest on Him. Lean on Him.
I was reminded of a little story I heard years ago. Matter of fact, I heard him tell it one time. Old Brother Faulkner, he was the vice president of Tennessee Temple. He was Lee Robinson's associate. He said they had a black lady that was their nanny. It's an old Christian woman. And she helped them with the kids so they could both teach at the university. And he said he always invited her every morning to family devotions around the breakfast table. And he says, I always asked her to pray. And he said invariably, every time she would pray, somewhere in the prayer, she'd say, Lord, would you prop up old Brother Faulkner today on the leaning side? Oh, we've got a God today that's interested in propping us up on the leaning side, but only if you'll lean all of your weight upon Him. Can't lean it on no government. I don't care if they put another Republican in up there. Don't lean on them. Rest in Him. What's to be gained by resting in Him? There'll be a realization. He says in chapter number 37 in verse 16, he says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. You'll realize that little is better. Less is better. I'd rather hunger with John the Baptist than I would to feast with Herod. I'd rather have the little of Obadiah than the much of Jezebel and Ahab today. How come? I'm going to get it all when it's done with. He's going to mow them down like grass. Why in this world would I want to rest in Him? He says in verse number 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. He ain't got a clue about the wicked. He don't even know their name. Matter of fact, when they stand in eternity, they'll be called whatchamacallit. Have you ever wondered why the story is the rich man and Lazarus? He gave Lazarus a name. How come? He's righteous. How come he didn't give the rich man a name? Because he was wicked. Oh, whatchamacallit. You'll never have a name in eternity. You listening to me? I don't care how high you go up. You may even attain, as some have here recently, to being the president of the United States. But if you lose your own soul, it will not be worth it. Amen. He says in verse number 23, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He says he knows how many steps I've got. And how many will be my last one? Oh, I tell you, you want to trust a God like that. You want to rest all of your weight in Him. I notice last of all, another little couplet. Depart from, wait on. Depart from, wait on. He says in verse number 27, depart from whatever looks evil. No, depart from evil. Anything that is evil this morning, reject it. Get away from it. Oh, don't get near evil. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Kneel. Nothing is the gain of evil, but great is the gain of the righteous today. Depart from it. In verse 34, wait on the Lord. Oh, He's going to work this thing out. Oh, I know it looks like we're losing now. He's keeping the score. Oh, yeah. He's just totaling up how much we're going to get. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're raising them gas. Oh, they're making more on that gas. Yeah, they're going to get. I'm going to get the righteous some more when it's over. Oh, they done gone up on the grocery prices. Oh, that's good. That's just that much more they're going to get when it's over with. Because I'm going to give them double for their trouble. Are you listening to me? During these days of all that is going on, Seems like the wicked are prospering, righteous are suffering gain. Loss. What are we to do? Why don't we just delight in Jesus? You say, how could I do that? Oh, you could do like I did the other day and like to have myself a spell. I just began to write down all the songs that I knew about Jesus. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. How about this one? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous seas. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. The Obamas, the Clintons, the Bidens, the Bushes, the Trumps shall all pass away. COVID, cancer, death, tears, sorrow, all kinds of heartaches, pain, they'll all pass away. Democrats and Republicans, Baptists, both Southern and Independent, shall all pass away. Gas prices, grocery prices, they shall all pass away. But there's still nothing like that name. I was wondering this morning how your delight meter was doing. Jordan and them are coming this morning to sing a little something, to play a little something, whatever they're going to do. We're standing this morning. Our heads are bowed. David has gathered the family around. Said the wicked are prospering. Looks bad. Don't look like we're going to make it out of here. Looks like God's forgot us. What should we do? He said, let's just have a delight party. Let's go to delighting in God. Maybe you need to get in this altar this morning and just have you a delight party. Maybe you're here this morning, you realize for the first time you're lost and on your way to hell. You ain't got nothing to delight in. And just come and bow in his presence. Confess that he is the Lord. While we wait in his presence, while they sing, while they play, God's speaking to you. Why don't you come? Get in this altar and just delight in the Lord. You never can tell. He might give you one of them credit cards while you're down here praying, so you can have it your way.